Alright, I'd like to welcome everyone back. This is the seventh shiur in the Shaarei Kedusha, the Gates of Holiness of Rav Chaim Vital. We are continuing now with the sixth shaar in the first chelik, continuing where we left off, on the day in the life of the pious, where Rav Chaim Vital sets out for us a sort of daily schedule for the day in the life of someone who is pious. If you recall from previous shiurim, the difference being like this: the tzaddik, his entire goal in life is to accomplish all the mitzvot to their most perfect fashion. That is the level of the tzaddik. The level of the chassid is not only to perform the mitzvot with all their details, but to also perform them with good midot, with good character, good trait, meaning in a proper, a proper fashion, going beyond just the letter of the law, but also to mekayem, to establish the spirit of the law in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what God is asking of us, in order so that we should, in a sense, be doing a chesed, be doing a kindness to our Creator, meaning that we're looking to fulfill that which He desires of His world, not so much what we desire out of the world. What do we mean by that? When we talk about what God desires of the world, it goes back to the question of why did God create the world. The creation of the world itself was in order, it says Baruch Haim Vital in his introduction, meaning in the Sefer Etz Chaim, in the beginning, he writes that the creation of the world was in order to bring about a revelation of God's midot, to reveal the various traits of a Kadosh Baruch Hu into the world. What's the idea behind that? Think in terms of this: HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. God is one. There is no second. There is no multiplicity in God and His existence in any possible fashion. Nevertheless, Hashem possesses all the traits. But those traits, if there does not exist a world, does not exist a universe such as that what we have here, in where we exist, then what happens is there is no revelation, for example, of God's kindness, of God's chesed. That aspect of Hashem, which is to do loving kindness to another without having a universe, so to speak, this aspect is not revealed. And the whole process of existence and creation revolves around that idea, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God wants His will to be revealed, and that will is expressed through the various midot of Hashem, through the various character traits of God: His chesed, His kindness, His rachamim, His compassion, and His din, His establishment of borders to what is right and wrong, and so forth and so on. The chassid then is looking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midot, that His traits should be revealed in the world, that God's kindness should be revealed in the world, that God's rachamim should be revealed in the world, and so forth and so on. And He Himself is aspiring to be the means for that to happen by virtue of His giving Himself over to not just fulfilling all the mitzvot to their perfection, but to fill them in the most absolute perfect way, meaning that they should be done with the proper character and with proper traits. Now, beginning here, we begin with Elohim Masha Srichlis El Katzeh Aharon. So now we begin. Rav Chaim Vital previously gave us more or less an order of the day in terms of the various things that we need to accomplish, in terms of the physical things that need to be done, in terms of prayer, in terms of getting up in the morning, and so forth and so on. So now he begins to talk about the various traits in particular that we need to be able to avoid to the absolute nth degree. Hizaher mikol minei kas ukveda v'gava. Chief among all those things is for us to be careful from all forms of anger, all forms of stinginess, and all forms of self-centeredness, of gaava. Now this is, as Rav Chaim Vital said, a bit of a kitzer of what he previously was explained at length. So therefore, we are going to not rehash everything completely, but just to bring in the ideas also in a shortened form. As we said before, gaava, self-centeredness, is the source, it is the root, the shoresh of all of the bad traits that we find in man. The idea of self, being a separate and completely, totally distinct existence from God is completely contrary to this entire idea of being a chassid, of being pious. You're looking to be the means by which God's will should be revealed in the universe. Therefore, it cannot be that your own will gets in the way. It cannot be that your own self should be an imposition to that. So therefore, a person must work and find at all costs any aspect of self-centeredness that exists within himself. This is manifest in the most direct fashion in these two midot that Rav Chaim Vitale told us, kaas and kmeda, anger and stinginess, being particular about things. This is perhaps a better way of saying this in terms of not just being stingy, meaning, for example, if a person finds himself getting angry at anything, whatever it might be, the first thing he needs to do is investigate what is it that is offending him personally. I mean, yes, there's an idea of kina, an idea of being jealous for God, that there might be some specific aspect of the world which seems to be running contrary to God's will, and to having a jealousy that it should exist in the world something negative that going against that which God is looking to accomplish here in the world. Nevertheless, anger itself is quite different than that midah. That midah is something which comes about from a calm and collected and carefully dealt with rational reaction. When Pinchas, who is the famous Kanoi, he's the famous zealot that decides to go ahead and spear the two that were involved in sin, he did so in a very calm and collected fashion. Meaning that which he did was not irrational, exuberance, running into a room and spearing without thought. It says that before he performed his acts, he first went to the Beit Din. He first went to the Jewish courts. He first asked, what is the law here? What is the situation? What is going on? It bothered him from his deepest, most inner part to see that in this world there should be a great blotch, a great gigantic black spot on the face of what God is looking to accomplish. And this bothered him from his innards. And he acted with zeal, but not uncontrolled passions, but rather very specific, very controlled passions that, of course, knowing what happens to the end of the story, he's spearing the two of them together and so forth, we can see that the focus in terms of what was accomplished and the specific means by which it was accomplished, spearing in a particular place, in a particular way, with an exacting manner, was not a flailing around of some mad state, but rather, again, a poised, directed passion to fulfill God's will in the world, that this blot should not exist here in this place. Now, the opposite of that, though, anger, is an uncontrolled, a violent reaction to an offense of self, to an offense of some aspect of one's being. A simple thing, for example, in parenting, you ask your child that he should clean up his room. And you ask him once, twice, three, four times, five times. The question is, when you turn around now to scream at that child, are you angry at him? Or are you impassioned that he should fulfill something that has been requested of his parents in order so that he should be able to grow and learn to be able to walk in the ways of commandment, to walk in the ways of someone else, some other being, namely God and His Torah, directing his life? I know that most of us probably fail in having that kavana, but rather we're upset and angry at the fact that he didn't listen to us. That expression of anger is usually explosive and violent, I don't mean, God forbid, abusive behavior of anything along those lines, but it is a sort of unbridled expression of offense to oneself. Actually putting things into that light, and we see very specifically how silly, in a sense, that almost sounds. How could it be that there should be offense of ourselves from a small little child? Is there a place for self in all of this? That's the act of running after the Nekudah of Gava. That is the act of running out and doing introspection to find the source of self, the source of self-centeredness that became the means for explosion into anger. So in this case of parenting, careful introspection and realizing the proper way, which is again still nevertheless to raise one's voice to his child and so forth and so on, in order to be able to give them a sense of importance to what's going on, meaning that they need to listen to what their parents say. Nevertheless, having done a large amount of introspection into one's reactions into the situation, that introspection into that, looking in to find the self that is in there, that will help you then the next time to not react with unbridled anger, but rather with a controlled understanding that you are trying to instill within your child the fear of heaven that ultimately comes from learning to fear one's parents. Now, the same sort of thing exists when we talk about kpeda, when we talk about being makpid, about being particular on other people in terms of the relationship to ourselves, being picky. When we turn around and we look at the members of our family or anybody else who's around us, and we begin to attack very specific things about someone that's close to us. Why are you wearing that? Why didn't you put on this music? What's the situation here? Why is it that you can't go ahead and act in this following manner? All those things offending ourselves, meaning offending the sense of self that is within. So our job then, on a daily basis, as we're talking about a daily practice for us to be doing, on a daily basis is to investigate and find where is the self, where is the aspect of offense to one's being in this particular conversation or this particular reaction of hakpada, of being particular about something. And there is no room for that. I mean, the fact that you are being particular, for example, with one's wife about her dress, is it because that the specific dress offends you on a personal level? Or is it that, for example, he's concerned about the tzniut, the particular modesty that exists in that dress, and whether or not that particular clothing is something which represents what a Jewish woman is? Something beautiful and wonderful. A princess, a bat melech, whose very existence and whose very core is the embodiment of all that which the Jewish people is. The home, the raising of children, the setting in order of the entropy that exists in everyone's lives. The foundation stone of the home. So is the particular reaction something that's going to be something personal? Or is it something that is related to the spiritual and sublime? An introspection on one's reactions, particularly on those of being picky about the situation, will assist a person to be able to nail that center of self-centeredness and remove it from one's life. And that extends to everything. When a person is particular in terms of if children happen to be running around him and being loud, why does he have a problem? Same thing. He needs to look and see, Is it the self that is being offended, or is it the greater order of the universe that needs to be ordered and needs to be put in place? That form of introspection is the key to daily growth in terms of one's spiritual self, in terms of having good and positive character. When a person is working his life for the ideals that are beyond him, he's now working on the level of a chassid, of a pious person. As we said, this applies, meaning being particular and so forth, and angry applies even to our own families. If a person is kindling your anger, he's getting on your nerves, meaning he's offending yourself, it's imperative that you hold back from answering and you control your passions and reactions through a regular balance of control of one's reaction to things. Ultimately speaking, he'll change his core being to become someone who is anav, to become someone who is humble, to become somebody who possesses savlanut, patience. Patience being the active form of humility. He should be the one who is bearing the brunt of people's humiliation, but not being the one who humiliates others. Think how critical it is in life not to be the person who's pursuing others for their downtrodden situations. The importance of this extends into all different angles. One of the most important being that what you do unto others is going to end up coming back. Just on a practical level, if you're in the office and you're constantly speaking about the other people in the office, this is going to open the door for you too to be the brunt of all other people and all other people's humiliation. You too put yourself into that cycle that's going to exist. But if you break out of it, if you step out of that, and you become the person who is in control of the situation and says, no, I'm sorry. There's no room for Lashon Hara here. There's no room for pursuing people's imperfections. Then all that changes. All that is working towards the greater ideal of the world and not towards one's own personal self-centeredness.
ועבר על מידותיך לכל מי שחטא ולא תגיש צער אפילו בבביך כי טוב הוא לך כל המעביר על מידותיו מעביר לו הכל פשעיו מכל שכן עוונות וחטאות.
If a person makes his life aim to walk in the way of God, and all those that step into this relationship with him and falter, they don't manage to live up. They don't manage So when a person finds that people are not meeting his goals, that people are faltering in their relationship to him, that people are offending him perhaps, or that anything for that matter occurs as an offense to him, people are sinning against him, when he turns around and he lets it all go, when he doesn't take to heart the offenses that are made on his behalf, then that mida keneged mida is what happens to him. Meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just lets it all go, and his sins, just like he erased his fellow Jew's sins, are erased for him.
V'im en esechel lecha haya lecha lechapes mish yitztayer lecha ki chayim ata mevekesh lecha v'kaber kol adam besimcha af im hu sonacha ki al yedeichen yafech lecha leohev v'azchut hu lecha.
In general in life, a person's entire approach to all things should be with a certain open-heartedness, a love for all those that are around. Meaning that his entire being should revolve around having a sense of not just peace, but a sense of happiness in one's relationship between each other. In doing so, when a person is always pursuing that all relationships should work and should go along the lines of positive things, what ends up happening is even those that hate a person all of a sudden become those that love him. Things change to his merit. I found and I've seen over and over again that in life, when a person is presented with someone who seems to be his enemy, against him, you find that the more public your position is, the more often this sort of comes about. For various reasons, whatever it might be, perhaps maybe by mistake you might have offended somebody, perhaps there's a certain jealousy that might exist on the other person's side. But by taking every single person, including those that are distant from you, because for whatever reason they've chosen, they look at you in a negative fashion, if you nevertheless pursue them with love, pursue them with care, all things change. You find that very quickly things change in your relationships. As soon as you focus your mind to seeing every single person as someone that you love. There was a very nice statement I once saw by in Lubavitch literature, by Hayom Yom. I saw a statement there that said that the Baal Shem Tov taught that, I think, forgive me if I'm quoting wrong, I believe it was Baal Shem Tov who taught that a person should love every single Jew, even the Jew he has not met. I thought that was an unbelievable statement. Certainly something that I've tried to take to heart and I hope to make part of my life. And I believe this is exactly what Chaim Vital is telling us here. That it's our goal in life to love each and every other person. And not to preoccupy himself with the causes even of the other person's anger towards him, except in trying to understand what he might do to mitigate that situation, because of the fact that he truly desires that everyone should be close to him. A person gets into an upset with somebody else, something happens, whatever, he should be the one to run and ask for forgiveness, even if there's nothing to be talked about in terms of forgiveness on his side. Simply to be able to reactivate the conversations and to sort of jilt things and move them into the direction of love between one and another. Rav Chaim Vital now tells us one of the keys, one of the most fundamental keys to being able to move forward in terms of spiritual growth. Everything in terms of development of midot revolves around building and constructing anava, humility within a person. The key active force we had already stated of anava is savlanut, is patience. V'chol dvarecha yu benachat v'chol namuch l'val tikanes b'gvul hakas. That by making acts of patience, by running one's life in a fashion that regardless of what his internal state might be, happy, sad, angry, whatever it is, that he always exhausts those emotions in a fashion of tranquility and peace. That he acts with tranquility, that he speaks with a soft voice, and never allows himself to enter into the borders of anger under any condition. Doing so, the Ramban in the Igaret HaRamban told us that this tool, the acting force of patience, will quell the flames of anger and self-centeredness
and will ultimately speaking help us change our core character. But our stepping in to this mode of action, Rav Chaim Vital told us in previous chapters, is what brings a person into the stages of Chassidut and working towards Chassidut, meaning working towards piety. Not just getting by, but moving forward and beyond the boundaries of the restrictions, or for that matter, the commands that are positive for our life, and moving into fulfilling God's will so that God's world should be the way that God wants it, and not just for the reward and punishment that are directly connected with us.
V'haser atzvut u'da'agam libecha v'aveh ra'am v'sarecha ki mokeshu lecha l'salek ruach kadosh me'alecha.
Sadness, depression, is the very absolute antithesis of what someone who is humble would have in terms of his state of mind. A person who realizes the incredible distance between him and his Creator, how small he is in the face of the Holy One, or for that matter, all else that exists, the more he realizes how incredible it is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should have a relationship with him. That he, being so tiny and so little, should be so chosen by God to have his Torah stand there before him as a daily connection through his mitzvot, through his limud Torah, through his tefillah. His happiness, his exuberance for life and existence are unreal. All that from his humility. Therefore, being depressed, being sad, is the complete and total opposite of all of that. Who are you to be sad and upset? Look how wonderful it is to exist. There isn't anything in the world that can stand in the way of you and your relationship with God. Despite what might exist, you're chosen. You have been given the Torah and the mitzvot. Unbelievable. Therefore, it's essential that a person not allow himself to get caught up in sadness. What then is the key factor to falling into a mindset of depression, a mindset of sadness? It's a lack of hope, lehitya'esh, to give up hope. Hope comes from emunah. It comes from faith in Hashem. It comes from that realization of our relationship to Hashem. That not only did He created us, He continues to have a relationship with us despite us. Unreal. Unbelievable. Therefore, a person must have hope at all times. And from emunah, person has tikvah. From faith, a person comes to hope. Therefore, never allow yourself to falter in faith. Never allow yourself to enter into a state of sadness. And from there, where do you go? Once a person realizes and has hope, once you have hope and once you know that God is there
and that our relationship is alive and well, and that there's a dialogue day in and day out with your Creator. From there, a person enters into bitachon, into trust in God. When a person trusts in his Creator, he has happiness. From bitachon comes simcha, from trust comes happiness. And when you trust in God, you avoid the following negative traits. Uvarach min harabanut asher hi mikatzercha shenotecha. Run from positions of political power. Run from trying to put yourself into the limelight. Run from trying to be a person who is trying to make everyone happy without concern for what's best for them. If anything, politics can be most best explained on those terms. It's trying to make everybody happy without any concern for them. You think of a politician, you think of somebody who doesn't care, who has no concern for you, and you're right. He's just trying to make you happy, but not with any concern for who you are and what you really need. Don't become from those people. Why do they get into those positions? Why would somebody bring himself into a position like that, where he's trying to be in the limelight and he's trying to lead things in different directions? It's because of the fact that he doesn't trust that all will work out according to the divine plan if we just have a serious sense of responsibility for each other and concern for each other and for each other one is going. Now, it doesn't mean to say that a person should never enter positions of leadership at all. When there's no one, you have to be someone. But if you take your positions of leadership only when forced upon you, and you use them only from the perspective of what can I do for others and what are my responsibility to others, then that's an entirely different situation. But even here, a person should never be striving to be in that position. Only when there's no one else that can perform that job, then there is the reward. And then there is the guaranteed protections from heaven for such a person who is osek l'tzorchei tzibur l'shem shamayim, who is dealing with the needs of the communities for the sake of heaven. And for those people, Hachamim tell us that there are special blessings upon them, upon their children and their families. For the position itself truly does shorten one's life in terms of the pressures, terms of the politics. But if a person takes a position and doesn't become a politician, and he instead becomes a leader, leading each other towards the responsibilities that we must have, that's another situation. V'hitrachek misicha betela u'mishaker v'chanufa v'letzanut u'lashon hara ki hen kitot asher eina mekablot p'nei shechina l'olam haba. So from the positions of politics and being in the limelight, we know that what comes out most quickly from all of these things are the things that now we need to be most particular about, no matter where we stand in our position. Guarding ourselves from speech that's purposeless. Nothing is more damaging than being flirtatious. Don't find yourself in a position of lying. Don't find yourself in a place where you're, let's say, kissing up to people, and finding yourself in the position of running after the politics and running after things, not from this perspective of being a leader and directing things, but trying to get out favors from there. Be truthful and honest and direct between you and every other person. That every conversation should be something which has purpose and meaning. Otherwise that leads to, a situation where everything just becomes clowning around and there's no seriousness and nothing is ever drawn into the practical realm. Once that happens and the entire air has become one of flattery and of lying and of speech of no purpose and no bearing and no direction, what flows from that is Lashon Hara. What flows from that is improper speech. Is talking about other people. Is trying to influence through one's speech the outcomes that exist in the world. But not through God. But through talking about others and about politicking and directing things in a fashion that is completely and totally contradictory to Emunah, to faith in God. It's for that reason we understand that those people, Rav Chaim Vital just told us, do not move into the camps of people that will receive the glory of the Shekhinah, will receive the presence of God in the world to come. Instead of trusting in God and His directing of the universe, he said about so and so, such and such, so that he feels that the outcome will be beneficial for him, or the outcome, God forbid, worse, would be negative for that person, in order so that ultimately speaking there may be some gain on himself for whatever it is he's looking to accomplish. All of these things are centered again around the idea of self, around the idea of one's own personal self-gain and belief in his ability to control all that which is around. It's a lack of faith in God, and it's what ultimately leads to a lack of hope. When situations don't work out the way we want, if we understand and we trust in God and we have faith in God, then we don't fall into depression and we don't get sad. We realize that it's a dialogue between us and God, and it means we need to take another direction. It means we need to do tshuva. It means we need to look forward to the future with hope and be happy, because God runs the universe. Ve'echoz banava amviya lidei ruach hakodesh. And therefore we can understand that this idea that ultimately speaking we're going to find ourselves in the presence of the Shekhinah, it's not just for the world to come, for the person who has humbled himself, that presence of the Shekhinah is even here in this world. That presence of God and its direct communication to Him is here in this world. And this we can understand by being humble and realizing that we're nothing in the universe and all things run according to God's plan. Then we can understand and we can see the hand of God in the universe that ultimately will lead to us experiencing God's communication to us on a more spiritual plane. At the very least, each and every one of us is able to maintain that dialogue with God by always taking responsibility for all that which is around, and moving forward with the trust that this is God's world. And then it will be apparent and possible to learn from everything that exists through introspection and through the learning of Torah from those two very, very precious things. A person will slowly order his midot, his traits, so that all that which is he is nothing more than a means for accomplishing God's will in the world.
ואתום אוזנך משמוע ורכילות ולשון הרע ושיחה ותלה כחרש לא ישמע.
But it's not just in terms of the active state of what we do that matters. The environment around us also has an effect. If you expect to be in tune to what God wants of you, then you need to make sure that your ears are turned towards the Torah and towards the Chachamim. You're not going to find in the world of self-centeredness, in the world of separation from God, and the belief that an individual has some power to shape destinies, for only God determines destiny. We react to destiny through the fulfillment of mitzvot, through the holding back from doing averot, and from the movement towards tshuva, towards return, when we should slip off this path. Therefore, it's incumbent upon us to hold back from listening to tale-bearing. So-and-so said this about you. Rechilut. To hold back from listening to Lashon Hara. So-and-so, when he was over there, this is the way he was. So for sure, here he's going to be this way. Don't even give him a chance. Speech which has no purpose. Holding back from listening to such things, not just participating, is incumbent upon us that our ears should be deaf to those things. And in doing that, in creating an environment that is conducive for the two most precious things that we need be do all day and all night, the introspection and the learning of Torah, the careful looking for the points of gava, of self-centeredness that are contained in all our reactions with others, and in investing in our fulfillment of all that which God asked to us, so that His world should be the way that God wants it. A place of holiness. So ultimately speaking, then Rav Chaim Vital tells us, "V'yeki ilem lo yiftach biv ela b'torah uva mitzvot uva masav matan echachi v'kibul adam b'sever panim yafot l'shon raka." Therefore, a person should only open his mouth for Torah and for mitzvot, and for business matters when necessary. And that all people are accepted with open arms and care, with a kind face. When someone approaches you, he shouldn't feel anger. He shouldn't feel hesitation to come near you, that he may bear some wrath, or that your state will be so unstable that you'll lash out at him. By training and maneuvering one's entire being to be in a tranquil state, as we've already said, he's going to ultimately affect his state. The scientists did a very interesting experiment, this is going about 15 years ago, where they took scores of people and had them make different expressions, some smiling, some frowning. And what they found was, based on the expression that a person's face had, his entire emotional state changed to match it. That if he made a happy face, he became happy. If he made a sad face, he became sad. If he began to make himself bent over in depression, he became depressed. If he put himself in a mood for tears, the tears flowed. So when you wonder, how is it that I can be different than where I am? You put on a smile, you look up at the heavens, and in that act of looking up, the scientist also said that this instills a sense of serenity upon the person. And you say, God is true. He is emet, he is truth. I have emunah, I have faith. I have hope in you, Hashem. When people face you, and you face them with a smile, all is well in the universe. The reaction on you and your inner being will be to become a person who is humble. But not only that, you'll have an effect on the other person. Your smile will affect them. When you speak to them with a soft intonation, you're going to get a soft reaction. And with control of how you speak and how you present yourself to another, you can instill within them passion. Instill within them faith and trust. You'll raise them and yourself all in the process. But in all of this, Rav Chaim Vital tells us, "V'lo tishtabeach b'maaseha atovim labriot, ki tafsit zcharcha v'ot tekabel onesh al kach." But don't take to heart and think that you should be praised for acting in a state of humility, for acting with tranquility with others, for uplifting others, for performing good deeds with others, for doing anything in this world. Don't think that you deserve praise. In doing so, a person loses his rewards for the world to come. And not only that, it gets punished. For if a person thinks for a moment what he really owes God, he'll realize that if he spent his entire life acting and doing all that which God wanted, it would be nothing in comparison to the tremendous thanks that he owes to God for his existence, and more importantly, for his continued existence in the face of the sins and for the unbelievable rebellion of all that which he did in his life, not in line with what God asked of him. This is a person, a day in his life, as he moves through the day. Rav Chaim Vital now continues back into the more practical aspects of the day. A person should be very particular about prayers in the afternoon. The mincha time prayers, which in most synagogues usually are towards the end, close to where sunset is happening. So meaning he'll pray the afternoon prayer. Sometimes there's a small break, sometimes not, followed by the evening prayer, back to back. That afternoon prayer, be particular. I know now it's very difficult. Work ends. If I'm going to be able to make it, I've got to run, I've got to stress, I've got to this. Sometimes it doesn't even work out all the time. But to do all that which is possible, to pray mincha, to pray the afternoon prayer, in the most perfect way. Because mincha time, the afternoon time, is specifically the time when Eliyahu Navi is answered. Now as the shadows of darkness begin to come in, it's also the beginning of the time of din, of border and judgment. It's the line between morning and evening. And even more so, a person should be particular about praying the evening services. And in particular, that evening service, a person should make sure to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for it's in the evening when a person's cheshbon, or a person's accounting, comes before the heavens. And all those forces of the universe that believed that they're owed come into play. That believe that they can extract justice from another. The evening is their time.